How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Sing that first verse again.
How deep the Father's love for
from New Buildings Independent Methodist Church. Two readings from God's Word today, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. First of all, we will read from Psalm 122. The 122nd Psalm, and let us all hear the word of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. Unto the testimony of Israel. to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can draw nigh to thee in the name of our precious Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Father, we must confess, Lord, as we pray to thee today, that we feel most unworthy to come into thy holy presence. And yet, Lord, we think of the lovely words of the hymn writer, though coming weak and vile, thou dost my strength assure, thou dost my vileness fully cleanse, till spotless all and pure. And so, Lord, we thank you today that the Lord Jesus, by his blood, makes us worthy. And we draw nigh to thee today in prayer, knowing that thou art the God who hears prayer. The psalmist said, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. We come, Lord, to thee today, and we praise thee that thou art not some kind of idol. Thou art not a dumb idol of wood or stone, but, Lord, thou art the Almighty God, the great triune God of heaven, the one who created this universe 6,000 years ago. And, Lord, you did it in 6 literal 24-hour days, and we praise you for that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But we thank you, O Lord, for the new creation. We thank you, Lord, for everyone today who is a new creature in Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you're the one who is still in the soul-saving business. Salvation is of the Lord. O Father, we would not dare even attempt to do your work. Lord, we could never save a soul. We can only bring the good message, the gospel message. We can only carry the glad tidings of salvation to a lost world. And Lord, it is your work to convict and to convert the soul. So we pray, Lord, that even today across our land that you would do that. That, Lord, new names would be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life even today. Father, we ask that you will bless the congregation and new buildings. We thank you for your faithful people, Lord, who worship thee even in their own homes today. And we pray that you would bless them. We pray, dear Father, that you will not only bless our own church family here in the village, but we pray that across Ulster, that you will bless every church family, that you will bless all your people today. We thank you, Lord, that you're not so interested in denomination. But Lord, we thank you today that there is only one church, and the great King and head of that church is Jesus Christ. And we are here today to worship him. And we ask, O Lord, that our worship might be acceptable unto thee. So cover us now beneath the Saviour's blood, and we pray that our time together today around thy word may be sweet indeed. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Speak, O Lord, as we come.
Could we turn, please, to the New Testament book of Matthew? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. We're beginning to read at verse 13, and we will read down through until we come to the end of verse 23. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 23. In this passage, we have the first reference in Scripture to the church. So let's read it together. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." So there, friends, you have the first reference in Scripture to the church. The Savior said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Let's read on. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And we know that the Lord shall add his blessing to this reading from his own word. Back in 2007, I had the privilege of spending 2 weeks in the Holy Land. The highlight of the trip was a visit to the Garden Tomb, where the Lord Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. Another highlight from that trip was sailing across the Sea of Galilee, where the Lord Jesus had walked on the water and calmed the storm. Another place on the itinerary was Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi is located at the base of Mount Hermon, which is the tallest mountain in Israel. It was at Caesarea Philippi that Peter made his great confession, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. More importantly, it was here that the Saviour spoke the immortal words, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There are two striking pieces of landscape at Caesarea Philippi. The first is a massive wall of rock, 100 feet high, 500 feet wide. So let's picture the scene. The Lord Jesus is standing beneath this imposing rock face at Caesarea Philippi, and he begins to speak about a rock. Upon this rock I will build my church. This begs an obvious question. Who or what is the rock that Jesus was referring to? Well, the answer is very simple. The rock is a person, but it's not Peter. How do we know? Well, in the original Greek, the word for Peter is Petros, which means a small stone. The word that's used for rock is a different word. It's the word Petra, which means a large rock. So Christ is the rock, not Peter. Indeed, there was no way that Peter could be the rock because he was fickle, just like us. A good nickname for Peter would be Mr. Foot in Mouth. You see, Peter was always putting his foot in it. In fact, both his feet. Just a few verses later, Peter becomes a mouthpiece for the devil. Look at verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. So 1 minute, the Holy Spirit is speaking through Peter, the next minute, the devil. 1 minute, Peter is lifting up the Son of God, the next minute, he is letting him down. Peter will not hear tell of Jesus going to the cross. But it was a gross error on Peter's part, and he received a stern rebuke for it. You see, folks, the cross was the very reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. It is only through the finished work of the cross that Adam's ruined race can be saved. As the hymn writer puts it, Before the stars were hung or planets fashioned, Before the clay was formed to make a man, Christ was the Lamb of God for sinners offered. This was redemption's one and only plan. There was no other way a God of love could find to reconcile the world and save a lost mankind. It took the death of his own son upon a tree. There was no other way but Calvary. One thing we noticed about Caesarea Philippi whenever we were there was the fact that there is an abundance of water. There is water everywhere. The source of the River Jordan is found at Caesarea Philippi. The highest waterfall in Israel is also found at Caesarea Philippi. But where does the water come from? Well, it gushes out from the rock. You remember that massive rock face, that massive wall of rock that I told you about earlier? Well, that is where the water comes from. What a beautiful picture of the gospel. Because you see, friends, the gospel tells us that the living water flows from the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of ages. In the Old Testament, the Israelites drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus himself said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." You see, friends, satisfaction isn't found on a pornographic website. Satisfaction is not found in a lottery ticket. Neither is satisfaction found at the bottom of a bottle. No, it's only found in Jesus Christ and in him alone. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. E'en as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Notice what the Saviour goes on to say here in verse 18. I will build my church. That's a very important statement, particularly that little word, my. Jesus Christ says, I will build my church. Does the church belong to the government? Does the church look to the government to find out if, when, and how they are allowed to worship Christ? Do we as individual Christians belong to the government? Well, what's the answer? Again, it's very simple and very straightforward. We belong to Christ. You see, he has purchased us with his own blood. Listen to the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What did the hymn writer say? Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. So Jesus says, I will build my church. It's almost as if he's saying, hands off tyrants, hands off dictators. The church belongs to me. Folks, here we have the title deeds to the church. But back to Caesarea Philippi for a moment. The other striking piece of landscape that's found there is a cave. In Jesus' day, this cave was a place marked by immorality and idolatry. People engaged in the most degrading acts, including bestiality and prostitution. We could say that it was the red light district of Israel. And what was it called? The gates of hell. Yes, you heard me right the first time, the gates of hell. At this very spot, the Saviour spoke about the gates of hell. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Back in Bible times, those in authority would meet at the city gates to make plans. At the gates of hell, Satan and his legions hatched their plans for the destruction of the church. But these plans will fail. No weapon that is formed against the church will prosper. Or, as the Saviour himself said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Sometimes the devil comes as an angel of light to deceive the church. Other times he comes as a roaring lion to devour the church. But whatever strategy he adopts, it is doomed to failure. Something else that you need to know about the city gates. The city gates were a place of power. You see, armed guards patrolled the area around the city gates. At the gates of hell, you will find power, but it is limited power. Satan is mighty, but Jesus Christ is almighty. As the hymn writer puts it, Jesus is stronger than Satan and sin. Satan to Jesus must bow. So take heart, believer, you are on the winning side. And if you're not a believer, Jesus invites you to come and be part of his church. Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against that church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, and that cannot fail.
Onward, Christian soldiers!
marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before.